We continue Bezat Hashem in Masechet Moed Katan. We are up to the fourth line from the top of Davav Amud Aleph, where it says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this limud is Leilui Nishmat Baruch Ben Shelomo, Shelomo Ben Reuven, Erez Ben Miriam, Sulika Bat Chana, Esther Bat Ladisya, and Simcha Bat Ladisya. Aleim HaShalom. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Sheyehe Sham Zaken O Talmid, Lefi She'en HaKol Beki'im Badavar. In the Braita that we learned before on Daf Hei Amud Bet, regarding to determine if the field had a kever that was plowed or a kever that was lost. So the Braita told us that there is a certain siman to know, that if there are trees planted there, then you know that the kever was plowed. But if there are no trees, then it's a field, a sadeh, that we lost, that the kever was lost there, and you're not supposed to plant trees. So now, to go by this sign, Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't do that. Not everyone is baki, not everyone knows the halakha, and therefore you have to go by the testimony of a zaken or a talmid chacham. If there is an elderly rabbi there, or a talmid chacham who can testify whether there was a kever there that was plowed or lost, that's what you have to go by. You can't go by the siman of the trees. Amar Abaye, so Abaye learns from this statement of Rav Yehuda the following. Shma mina, we see from here, Tzurva merabanan de'ika bemata, when there is a talmid chacham in the city, kol mile demata ale ramya, all the matters of the city are put on his responsibility, which means because he is a baki in the halakha, so he's expected to know what happens in the city, and he has an achayut, he has a responsibility to testify for what's going on and to direct people correctly in halakha. So we see from here that there is a achayut on a talmid chacham in a city. The Gemara continues with this sugya of the tziyun hakvarot, of marking the graves. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Matza even metzuyenet tachte hatame. If let's say a person found one stone, one even, and it was metzuyenet, it was marked, so then tachte hatame, that shows you that the ground underneath it is tame. Although we learned before that you're not supposed to put a tziyun directly on the place of the tum'ah, but that's different when it comes to making the tziyun on a stone, that's fine, since the stone is high and people can see it from far. So then if you put the sign, the tziyun, on top of the even, on top of the stone, that's okay. People will notice it and already know not to walk there. So therefore, Matza even metzuyenet tachte atame. If you find that the even is marked, underneath it you know it's tame. Shetaim, if let's say you found two marked stones, so then it depends. Im yesh sid benehen, benehem tame. If let's say there is lime on the ground that's between them, if there was lime that is put there, sid, so that shows that not only underneath the two stones is a tame, but also in underneath that area between the two stones is also tame, because there is seed. We see that it is metsuyan, it is marked to be tame. V'im en seed benehem, however, if there's no lime on the ground between them, so then benehem taho. So that shows that the area between the two stones is taho, and only underneath each stone by itself is a place that is a place of tum'ah. So now the Gemara asks on this, Ve'afal gav deleka choresh, are you telling me that the area between the two stones are taho, if there's no lime, even though we don't see choresh, even though there's no sign of plowing that took place between the stones? Vehatanya, but did we not learn in a braita? Matza even achat metzuyenet. If you found one stone that is marked, tachte hatame, underneath it is tum'ah. Shetayim, if you found two marked stones, it says in this Braita, im yesh choresh benehem, if the area between the two stones is plowed, benehem taho, then you know that area is taho. Ve'im lav, but if it's not plowed, benehem tameh, then the area between them is tameh, regardless if there's seed on the ground or not. If there is no charisha, if there's no sign of plowing, we say that the area between the two stones are also tameh. So this is a question on what we said before. Amar Rav Papa answers, Hacha, this braita over here that says that the area in between is tameh, if there's no sign of charisha, keshehasid shafuch al rashehem, when the lime that is used as a marker on the stones is shafuch al rashehem, is poured on the top of the stones, umrude lekan ulekan, and the lime is also spread on the sides of the stones, on both stones. So in other words, the lime is not only on the top of the stone, it is coming down on the side towards the ground, on each one of the stones. In that case, we say like this, then that is more chamur. That gives us more reason to think maybe the area in between is also tameh. Maybe the intention of the one who put the lime on the stones is to show us a mark that the area in between is also tameh. So that, then we have to look for another siman. If it was plowed, if the area in between was plowed, then the area is taho. De'emu mechamat choresh hu de'ikfal, because then we can say it's because of the plowing that the lime was stretched down on the stones. Ve'ilo, but if you don't see any sign of plowing, sid de bene benehu, then that lime that comes down on the sides of the stones are a sign for the area in between as well. Ve'tameh, and that area is tameh as well. However, Rav Yehuda before was talking in a case where the lime is strictly on top of the two stones. Oh, so in that case, only underneath the stones is tameh, and the area in between is taho, unless you actually see lime on the ground as well. Amar Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi says a halakha. This is a halakha that is based on what we said before on the Heamud Bet, that the mark of the Tum'ah, the Tziyun, should not be put too far away from the place of the Tum'ah in order to not cause a hefsed to Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Rabbi Asi says, Metzer Echad Metzuyan, if let's say you have a field and only one side, one border, is mitsuyan, is marked, so hu tameh, so we assume that the border itself, the metzer itself, that side is tameh, v'chol ha-sadeh kula tehora, and the rest of the field is tahor. Shenayim, if let's say two sides of the field, two borders of the field, are marked, are mitsuyan, hem tameim, so the borders are tameh, but v'chol ha-sadeh kula tehora, but the rest of the sadeh is tahor. Shelosha, the same thing, if three sides, three borders are mitsuyan, are marked, hem teme'im, the sides themselves, the borders are tameh, v'chol ha-sadeh kula tehora, but the rest of the field is tahor. Arba'a, however, if let's say all four borders, all four sides of the field are marked, so then we say, Hen tehorim, the borders themselves, the boundaries themselves, are actually taho, v'chol ha-sadeh kula teme'ah. The rest of the entire sadeh is tameh. De'amarmal, because we said before, en marchikim tziyun mimekom tum'ah, we don't put the tziyun far away from the place of the tum'ah, shelo lehafsid et Eretz Yisrael, in order not to cause hefset to Eretz Yisrael, which means to increase more area into which people cannot enter. So therefore, that's why they marked all the borders, in order to indicate that the entire field is tameh. And when they only marked one or two or three borders, only the borders are tameh, the rest of the sadeh is tahor. It's only when you marked all the sides that shows that there is that the entire sadeh is tameh. Now we go back to the statement of the Mishnah, ve'yotzim af al hakilayim, that we allow inspectors to go out during Chol HaMoed for the purpose of kilayim, which means to uproot any roots that grew of kinds that are mixed, of diverse kinds, which is kilayim. Anything that grew in the way of kilayim should be uprooted by these people, even though it is during Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara immediately asks, "Ve'akilayim bechulo shel moed nafkinan? Is it on Chol HaMoed that we go out to take care of kilayim? Ureminhu." But we learned a Mishnah. We have a contradiction from a Mishnah in Masechet Shkalim. Be'echad be'adar mashmi'im ala shekalim ve'ala kilayim. On the first of Adar, Rosh Chodesh Adar, the Bedin send out a proclamation regarding the collection of the Machatzita Shekel, that everybody should be ready to give the Machatzita Shekel in 2 weeks. So 2 weeks before Purim, there is an announcement from Bedin, as we learned earlier in Masechet Megillah, to remember to bring the Shkalim. Ve'al ha-kil'ayim. And on Rosh Chodesh Adar, there's also a proclamation from the Bedin regarding the obligation to take care of anything that is kilayim, which means to uproot any mixtures of kilayim. So the announcement is on Rosh Chodesh Adar. B'chamisha asar bo, on the 15th of Adar, korim et ha-megillah b'krachim. A few things happen. The Megillah is read in the walled cities, as we know, Shushan Purim. Ve'yotzim lekavetz et ha-drachim, and we go out to clear the thorns. Lekavetz comes from the word kotzim, to remove all the thorns from the roads. Ultaken ha-rechovot, to repair the streets of the city. Ve'lamud ha-mikvaot, and to measure all the mikvaot, to make sure that they are kasher. Ve'osim kol tzorche rabim, and we tend to all the public needs. U'mitzayenim et ha-kevarot, and we mark the graves with lime, like we just spoke about. Ve'yotzim ala kilayim, and we go out to uproot all the kilayim, all the mixtures of kilayim. So that means already in Chodesh Adar, on the 15th of Adar, they went out to take care of the kilayim. So why by Chol HaMoed, which is a month later on Pesach, in Chol HaMoed of Pesach, why would they go out again to Yotzim ala kilayim, to take care of the kilayim? So that's a question. On our Mishnah, answers the Gemara, we have two answers, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, they disagreed how to answer this stira. Chad Amar, one said, Kan bevakir, kan beafil. Here, over here, in our Mishnah, in the Mishnah that we just brought here, of Masechet Shkalim, that says that we go out on the 15th of Adar for the Kilayim, that's Bebakir or Bebakhir. That's Milashon Bechor. That means the early crop. There's early produce which might have grown in a way of mixture of Kilayim. So therefore we take care of it on the 15th of Adar. Kan Be'afil, however, the Mishnah, our Mishnah that says that we go out in Chol HaMoed, it's referring to Afil. Afil means the late crop that takes time to grow, which is not so recognizable yet during Adar, and only by Chol HaMoed of Pesach is it possible to uproot and to recognize that it's kilayim and to uproot it. So one Mishnah is talking about the early ones, one Mishnah is talking about the later ones. Okay, that's one answer. V'chad amar kan bizraim kan biirakot. One says, the Mishnah in Masechet Shkalim that says that they go out in the 15th of Adar, that's referring to zraim, to the grains that are planted during the winter, and they already grew tall in Chodesh Adar. So then, if there is any kilayim, it is uprooted on the 15th of Adar. Kan birakot, whereas our Mishnah that says we go out on Chol HaMoed Pesach is talking about yirakot, it's referring to the vegetables that only grow later on in the season, and they are recognizable during Chol HaMoed of Pesach. So therefore, that's the answer to the stira. There's no stira. It depends what we're talking about, either early and late, or grains and vegetables.
Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Asi says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Lo shanu ela she'en nitzan nikar. Lo shanu means we didn't learn in the Mishnah in Shkalim that they go out on the 15th of Adar to uproot all the mixtures of kilayim. That's only if before that time en nitzan nikar, the blossom of the seedlings were not yet recognizable. So it's impossible to tell whether or not it's from a mixed kind or not. Aval nitzan nikar, but if let's say the blossoms were already recognizable at an earlier date, before the 15th of Adar, yotzim alehim, they go out at that time to uproot the mixtures of kilayim, which means this that it says 15th of Adar or in Chol HaMoed, well, that's only if you can't do it earlier. But if it's already recognizable before that it's kilayim, it must be uprooted beforehand. Now the Gemara asks, Maishna bechulo shel moed de nafkinan? Hare, we saw in our Mishnah that on Chol HaMoed there is a inyan to go out to uproot the kilayim, those that are needed to be uprooted by then. So why dafka maishna bechulo shel moed de nafkinan? What is it special about Chol HaMoed that we specifically go out then to uproot the mixtures of kilayim? What's special about Chol HaMoed? Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yaakov answered in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, mishum sechar peula de mozle gaban. Because of the payment of the work, the wages that you pay the workers that are hired by the Bedin to uproot the kilayim, it's much cheaper during Chol HaMoed. They have lower rates on Chol HaMoed. The mozle gaban, they reduce their prices for us on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because otherwise there's no other work. There's no work for them during Chol HaMoed. So if they're not going to take this job of removing the kilayim, they won't have any work at all. So therefore, naturally, they lower their rate, and so we can get them for cheaper. That's why Dafkan Chol HaMoed, the Beddin hire people to go out to uproot the kilayim. So the Gemara notices from this something. Amar Rav Zvid veitema Rav Mesharshia. Rav Zvid says, and some say it's Rav Mesharshia who said, Shema Mina, we learn from this explanation that we just heard, Ki Yahavinan Lehu Sachar, that when we pay the workers to uproot the kilayim, mitrumat alishka yahavinan lehu. The funds, the payments that we pay them is from the trumat alishka. That's from the money that is collected in the Beit HaMikdash. So there's specific money that is collected to pay for the workers that uproot the kilayim. So from the fact that we see that we worry to pick a time where the payment will be cheaper, we try to minimize the expense. Well, from here we see that we're using the money of the Beit HaMikdash to pay them. That's why we worry to pay less. Because if you think that the payments would be from them themselves, which means that the Beit Din would force the owners of the fields to pay for workers to remove the kilayim, and it's the owners themselves that have to pay, my nafkalan minayhu. So what does it make a difference for us how much they have to pay? Kol kama de ba'u liten lehu. However much the workers demand, they should pay them. If it was on the owners, then it wouldn't make a difference. Since we are worried to pay only a cheaper price, that means it's not coming out of the pocket of the owners. Rather, it's coming out of the Trumat Alishka, which is from the Beit HaMikdash. That's why we worry to do it dafka in Chol HaMoed, as we explained.
Now the Gemara asks, Ve'ad kama? Ve'ad kama means, and how much do you have to have a mixture from another kind into the crop that obligates a person to be mevatel, that obligates a person to have to uproot it now? It's considered kilayim and you cannot allow for it to continue and you have to uproot it. How much do you need from the other kind to be mixed into the kind that you are growing and then it will make it asur mishum kilayim and you have to uproot it? Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says, Ke'ota sheshaninu.
like what we learned in the Mishnah in Masechet Kilayim, Perik Bet, Kol se'a sheyesh ba rova zera mimin acher. If you have a measurement of a se'a, of seeds that you are planting, and in that se'a you have a rova. Rova means rova hakav, a quarter of a kav. Now, one se'a has six kavim. So a quarter of a kav is 1/24 of a se'a. So in other words, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak is saying, if you have 1/24 of a mixture of a different type of a seed that is mixed into the seeds that you are planting, yema'et, you have to reduce, you have to minimize the other type of seeds in the mixture by uprooting it, and thereby removing the isur of kilayim. So on this, the Gemara asks, "Vehatanya, but we learned in the Braita, hitkinu sheyehu mafkirin kol hasadeh kula. But didn't we learn in the Braita that the Chachamim were mitaken, they instituted, that if the inspectors come and they find kilayim, that they make the entire field hefker. They announce that the entire field is hefker as a penalty to the owner who allowed for kilayim to grow. So one second, we just said over here that if you find 1/24 of a mixture, in it makes it kilayim, and it says yema'et. Yema'et means all you have to do is uproot it, right? So that means the inspectors come, if they see kilayim of such a mixture, they uproot it. But how do you say yema'et? It says in the Braita that it's not enough to be yema'et. It's too late for yema'et. If they come and they see kilayim, that's it. They're mafkir kol ha-sadeh kula. They say the whole sadeh is now hefker. So they're not just yema'et. The whole sadeh is mufkar. Answers the Gemara, lo kashya. Kan kodim takana, kan le'achar takana. The Gemara says, in our Mishnah here, where it says that the inspectors go out and they are yema'et, they uproot, that's referring to the time before they made this takana of making the whole sadeh hefker. But kan le'achar takana, but the braita that we see that says that sheyitkinu sheyu mafkirim kol hasadeh, that's talking about after the time of the takana. So there was a time before that where all you had to do was yema'et. Detanya, as we learned in a braita, barishona, in the beginning, hayu okrim umashlichim lifne behemtan. The inspectors that would come from the beddin and they would see kilayim, they would uproot the kilayim, and they would throw what they uprooted, they would throw it in front of the animals, and let the animals eat it. Vehayu ba'ale batim semechim shetes machot. Now, you know what would happen? The owners of the property, they would be happy for two reasons. Achat shemenakeshim lahem sadotehem. One, the inspectors of the Bedin, they're weeding out their fields for them, right? When they uproot the plants of the other type, so they're doing nikush, they're weeding out, that's making their field better. So that's one benefit. And then not only that, they would throw the kilayim, the mixture kinds, in front of their animals to feed their animals. So they had a double benefit from this. So you know what would happen? The owners of the field, they never took any steps to keep their fields free of kilayim, because they knew, let the inspectors from the Beddin come, and they'll do it, and we thereby gain two things. One, the weeding out, and number two, they're feeding our animals. So when that happened, hitkinu sheyehu okrim umashlichim al drachim. So Chachamim were then metaken that no, you cannot uproot the kilayim and give it to their animals, rather, you cast it on the roads. You throw it on the roads so they don't get that benefit. But still, they would still be happy, the owners, because bottom line, you're menakesh their sadeh, you are weeding out their fields for free. That's when the Chachamim finally made a takana that if you find kilayim in the fields of the owners, you are there, you thereby pronounce the entire sadeh hefker. And that would definitely cause the owners to be careful next time not to allow any kind of kilayim to grow even from the beginning. Now we begin a new Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Moshchin et hamayim me'ilan le'ilan. if you have a field with trees, so on Chol HaMoed, you are allowed to be moshchin et hamayim, to draw water through water channels from one tree to another tree on Chol HaMoed. If, let's say, there are certain trees that need a lot of water, you're allowed to draw water from one tree to another. Ubilvad shelo yashke et kol hasadeh. As long as you don't water the entire field. That's already tircha yetera for Chol HaMoed. Second halacha, zra'im shelo shatu lifnei HaMoed, any plants that were not watered before the Chag, lo yashkem b'moed, you're not allowed to water them during Chol HaMoed. Because being that you didn't water them beforehand, that shows that these zra'im do not need to be watered all the time, so then Chol HaMoed is definitely not the time to start watering them. V'chachamim matirim b'ze u'baze. However, chachamim are matir, they allow in both cases. First, in the first case, that where Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov said uvilvad shelo yashke et kol hasadeh, that you're not allowed to water the entire sadeh, chachamim allow to water the entire sadeh, because this chachamim here in our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and we learned in Daf Bet Amud Aleph that Rabbi Meir says you're allowed to water an entire sadeh bet habal. That's according to Rabbi Meir, and that's the chachamim in this Mishnah. So they allow that, and also they allow, even though you didn't water the plants before the cholam, before the moed, you're allowed to do so on Chol HaMoed as well, according to Chachamim. Again, as Rashi explains, that the Chachamim in this Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, that we learned before, that was Mekel, that was lenient in watering even a Sadeh Betabal. The Gemara begins, Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Im Haita Sadeh Metunenet Mutar. Rav Yehuda is addressing that which Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer said that ubilvad shelo yashke et kol hasadeh, that you're allowed to draw a water channel from one tree to another, but not to water the entire field. So Rav Yehuda says, im hayta sadeh metunenet, if this field was actually moist before the Chag, and just in the meantime, it dried up, so then you are allowed to water the entire field, even according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rashi explains, because being that it was moist up until the Chag, and then it dried up, so then even if it's a Sadeh Bet Habal, but since it was moist beforehand, if you're not going to water it now, you're going to lose it. It's going to be harmed. And therefore, that's why Im Hayta Sadeh Metunenet, the type of sadeh that was moist until the Chag and then it dried up, it's allowed on Chol HaMoed to water it, even according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Tanya Namihachi, we learned like this in a Braita as well. Kesheamru asur leashkotan b'moed, when they said that you're not allowed to water the plants during the Moed, lo amru ela bezraim shelo shatu milifnei HaMoed. That's only zraim that did not get watered at all before the Moed. Aval zra'im sheshatu lifnei HaMoed, but zra'im, plants that were watered before the Moed, they were moist beforehand, mutar lehashkotan b'moed, you are allowed to water them on Chol HaMoed, because if you don't do so, that will cause a financial loss. Ve'im hayta sadeh metunenet mutar, the Braita says. And if the field was moist before the Chag, then it's mutar, then it's permitted to water the field, even if it was not watered beforehand, because since, again, like Rav Yehuda said before, since it was moist, if you will not water it during Chol HaMoed, it will be lost. Ve'en mashkim sedeh garid b'moed. The Braita continues and says, we are not allowed to water a dry field on Chol HaMoed, v'chachamim atirim b'ze u'b'ze. However, chachamim allow watering in both cases, both in plants that were not watered before the Chag, as we saw in the Mishnah, and also a very dry field also is allowed to be watered on Chol HaMoed according to chachamim, as we explained in the Mishnah, that is the shita of Rabbi Meir. Amar Ravina. Ravina says, Shema Amina, we learn from this, Hai tarbitza sharele tarbutze bechula de moada. Ravina says, Hai tarbitza. Tarbitza is a garden. We learn from the Heter of Chachamim that in a garden, you're allowed to sprinkle the garden with water on Chol HaMoed. Because how does he see it from the words of Chachamim? Sedeh garid mai ta'ama. Because what's the reason the Chachamim allowed a person to water a dry field on Chol HaMoed? Even though lecha'ora, there's no hefsed, the plants are not going to die in this field, so why did they allow it? They allowed it because de'afla meshaveh la'chorfa. Because by watering the dry field, you're turning the afla, the late crop, that which will grow later, you're turning it into charfa. Charfa means into early crop, which means we see from this that if something is going to ripen in a late time, and you're able to cause it to ripen earlier, then it is considered a loss if you let it ripen later. Which means it's not just, causing a profit for yourself. It's considered a loss. If you have a chance to make something grow and ripen early, and you allow for it to ripen late, that's considered a loss. And that's why Chachamim allowed you to water the sedeh garid, the dry field, on Chol HaMoed. So, Hachanami, therefore Ravina says, over here also, by the tarbitza, by the garden, afla meshaveh lacharfa, you're sprinkling water on the crop in your garden, and you're turning it from being a late crop into an early crop, and that is mutar on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara brings a braita, Tanu Rabbanan. It states in a braita, Marbitzin sedeh lavan bashvi'it, aval lo b'moed. We are allowed to sprinkle water in a sedeh lavan, in a field of grain. Remember, not sedeh ilan, but sedeh lavan. That's a field of grains. We are allowed to sprinkle water in the field only on the shvi'it, but not on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara asks, Vehatanya, but we have another braita that says, Marbitzin ben b'moed ben bashvi'it. You're allowed to water a sedeh lavan, a field of grain, on Chol HaMoed and on Shvi'it. So we have two braitaot here that are contradicting each other. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says lakasha, it's not a question. Harabi Eliezer ben Yaakov, harabanan. From our Mishnah, we see we can answer this stira. The braita that says that we're not allowed to be marbitz to water the field on Chol HaMoed, that's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who we saw in our Mishnah, that's more machmir, who doesn't allow it. Ha Rabbanan, the braita that says that we are allowed, ben b'moed, ben b'shvi'it, that's according to Chachamim, that we see in our Mishnah, that are mekel, that you are allowed to water the field on Chol HaMoed. Tanya Idach, we learned in another braita, marbitzim sedeh lavan, erev shvi'it, kede sheyetzu yerakot b'shvi'it. This braita is explaining to us exactly when and how is it allowed to water a field during the Shvi'it, during the Shemitah year. So two cases here in the braita. The first one, Marbitzim sedeh lavan erev Shvi'it, we're allowed to sprinkle water on a sedeh lavan, on a grain field, on Erev Shvi'it, before the year of the Shvi'it itself, kedei sheyetzu yerakot b'shvi'it, in order for vegetables to sprout, to grow during the Shvi'it year. It's allowed. Ve'lo od, and not only that, ela shemarbitzim sedeh lavan b'shvi'it, you're allowed during the year of Shvi'it to sprinkle water on the grain field, kedei sheyetzu yerakot lemotzaei Shvi'it, for the purpose of having vegetables grow on the year after the Shvi'it. Which means, since sprinkling water is not really a full-fledged melacha, therefore it's allowed to do on the Shvi'it, as long as you don't have both things during the Shvi'it year. Which means, as long as the sprinkling of the water and the growing of the vegetables do not both happen during the Shvi'it year itself. In other words, you're allowed, as we said, you're allowed to sprinkle the water before the Shvi'it year in order for the growth to be on the Shvi'it. Or you're allowed to sprinkle the water during the Shvi'it in order for the Yerakot to grow on Motzae Shvi'it. But you're not allowed to sprinkle water on the grain field during Shvi'it so that it should grow Yerakot during Shvi'it. That would not be allowed in the Shvi'it, in the Shemitah year. The next Mishnah begins, Tzadin et ha'ishut ve'et ha'achbarim misedeh ha'ilan u'misedeh ha'lavan kedarko b'moed u'bashvi'it. What's this? Tzadin et ha'ishut ve'et ha'achbarim. We're allowed to trap Ishut and Achbarim. Achbarim is mice. Ishut is also similar, like moles or rodents. These are types of animals that can cause harm to a field, especially a field of trees. And so we're allowed, during Chol HaMoed and during the Shvi'it year, we're allowed to set up traps in order to trap them, both in Sedeh Ha'ilan, an orchard, and Sedeh Alavan, a grain field, Kedarko. Kedarko means in the usual way. You don't have to do it b'shinui, both on Chol HaMoed and on Shvi'it. That's according to Tanakama. However, v'chachamim omrim, chachamim say differently. Misedeh ha'ilan kedarko. In a sedeh ha'ilan, in an orchard, you're allowed to trap them in the usual way. Because, or else, it's going to cause a big loss. Umisedeh ha'lavan, but in a grain field, where it's not such a big, substantial loss, shelo kedarko. Then you're allowed to set up the traps on Chol HaMoed, shelo kedarko, in an unusual way. You have to do it in a different way than normal, in a way of shinui. And the Mishnah continues and says, umkarin et ha-pirtza ba-moed. Pirtza is a breach in the wall of your garden. Let's say someone made a hole, a breach in it. So you're allowed to be mekare. You're allowed to seal up, to close up the hole, even during Chol HaMoed. U-ba-shvi'it bone kedarko. During the Shemitah year, not only are you allowed to seal the breach, but you can even build a new wall during the Shemitah year, because this is not considered a melacha of the ground, which means although it looks like you are doing something for the benefit of the growth of the plants and everything of the produce that is growing, but still, this is not a labor, an agricultural labor, and therefore building a wall is allowed on Shvi'it. During Chol HaMoed, to build it kedarko is not allowed, but to be mekare et ha-pirtza, to seal the breach, that is fine, that is allowed to be done even on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara begins by asking, my ishut, what's this word, ishut? Amar Rav Yehuda, b'riya she'en la enayim. It's a creature that doesn't have eyes. It's a type of rodent that digs holes in the ground, and it could cause damage to the roots and to vegetables. It's a type of b'riya she'en la enayim. It doesn't have eyes. And the Gemara gives us a source for this from Te'ilim. Amar Rav Bar Ishmael, v'itema Rav Yemar Bar Shlamya. Rav Bar Ishmael, and some say Rav Yemar Bar Shlamya, my kera. Where can we bring a pasuk to show us that Ishut doesn't have eyes? It's a pasuk in Tehilim, Perek Nunchet. Kemo shabelul temes yahaloch, nefel eshet, eshet is like Ishut, bal chazu shamesh. So kemo shabelul temes yahaloch, like a shabelul, that's a type of snail, that temes yahaloch, it melts and it disappears as it walks. Nefel eshet bal chazu shamesh, like the fall of a eshet, of a mole, of a rodent, bal chazu shamesh, that never saw the sun. So you see from here that the eshet, the ishut, is a type of creature that doesn't have eyes. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braita, tzadin et ha'ishut ve'et ha'achbarim misedeh ha'lavan u'misedeh ha'ilan kedarko. The Braita expands on the halakha that we saw in the Mishnah. And as we saw in the Mishnah, we are allowed to trap the ishut and the achbarim from the grain fields and from the orchards, kedarko, in the normal way. U'machrivin chore nemalim. The Braita adds here a halakha, and we are also allowed during Chol HaMoed to destroy, machrivin, to destroy chore nemalim, ant holes, so that the ants will not cause any damage. Ketzad machrivin, how does one destroy ant holes? Rabban Shimon Megamliel omer, Shimon Megamliel says, mevi afar mechor ze, venoten letoch chor ze. You bring soil from a different ant hole, and you place it into another ant hole, and you clog it up. Vehem chonkim ze et ze. And then the ants will strangle each other. Rashi says, "Mipenishem mirichim et ha'afar," because they go by their smell, their sense of smell, and they smell this new soil and they don't recognize it. And so they get all wild and they strangle each other. So that's how you could get rid of the ants and their hole. And here the Gemara says something interesting. Amar Rav Yemar Bar Shlamya Mishmede Abaye. Rav Yemar Bar Shlamya says in the name of Abaye, Vehu Dekai Bitre Avre Nahara. This advice that we just said from that we just heard from Rav Shimon ben Gamliel to take the earth from one ant hole and to place it in another ant hole, and because they don't recognize the smell, they strangle each other. Well, it has to be that they don't recognize it, right? So that's only if you bring the soil from an ant hole that is on the other side of a river. It has to be that the two ant holes are located on two opposite sides of a river. Only then will they not recognize. And not only that, and it has to be that between these two sides of the river, there's no bridge that connects the two sides upon which the ants can walk, and therefore they might be acquainted with that smell. And not only if there's no bridge, it has to be that there's not even a bridge that has one beam of wood. You would have a narrow bridge with one plank of wood going from one side to another. That also, if it's there, well, it's not going to work. Not only that, even a not only if you don't have a bridge, even if you have a rope that is stretched from one side of the river to the other, that's also enough to make that this idea, this advice won't work. Because if there is any kind of connection whatsoever between the two sides of the river, well, then the ants from one to the other are likely to recognize each other. And they won't fight and they won't kill each other. So it has to be that you bring it from totally from another side of a river, that it's not possible for the ants to have ever been there and recognize the scent of that anthole. And the Gemara concludes by saying, Ad kama, and how big of a distance do you have between the ant holes in order that they won't be recognized? Ad parsa. Has to be at least a parsa between them. Well, did you think when you woke up this morning you're going to learn about ant holes and their scent? Well, even that is covered in the Torah Kedoshah. Every little speck of the Mitziut that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. We'll stop here for today. Be'atzlacha, Rabotai.